Well, we're on. Welcome to everyone. I'll say that again. Welcome to everyone on this special day when we remember Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the early followers of Jesus, some 50 days after Easter. We're glad that you're here, or maybe if you're watching it online today or later. Hi. We begin our worship with the call to worship, which goes like this. Let us worship the risen Christ.
He is here with us.
The Holy Spirit is here.
The Holy Spirit is with us.
We wait for God to touch us with God's power.
The Holy Spirit moves amongst us.
Together we are God's people.
We celebrate together as God's people.
We worship God together.
Hallelujah.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with hope, joy, celebration, and love. Fill us with your amazing grace that transforms us and empowers us. Open our hearts to your peace. Open our minds to discover new life. Open our spirits today so we are empowered to serve the risen Jesus and to share God's love. We offer up our lives in your service. Amen. Amen. And I invite you to stand now as you're able as we sing our first song. Sitting down, don't you?
And is something wrong with that?
Sorry?
Is something wrong with liking sitting down? Come on.
No, it's nothing wrong with it, but sometimes it's good to stand and sing, to express, to open up your lungs. And if you can't hear me, it's not I'm speaking. right. Now can you hear me? Thanks, Dennis. We're going to sing another song. I invite you to stand as you're able, and we will sing it together. If you don't want to stand, well, feel free, you can sit.
Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to look out on a sea of red, and I see some yellow, and I see a fiery congregation meeting together in love, praising God. I'm Shelley, I'm the new minister here, and it's my joy and privilege to be able to bring the prayer of confession. I know I've told you before how important I feel it is that we come before God honestly and let him know that we realised we could be doing better. I'm not sure about my mic at this point. I'll just go on. Let us pray our prayer of confession. Fiery Spirit, fill our hearts, for it is hard to love all our neighbours. You see our irritation, our dislike and our anger, our lack of effort and our fears. We are sorry that we are not following your commandment. With our prejudice, we do not see our neighbours. With our judgments, we do not hear them. With our insecurity, we are afraid to love them. Fiery Spirit, fill our hearts with grace and love. We know that Pentecost brought unity across social division, and there are so many inequalities and unjust actions affecting our neighbours every day. Strengthen our voices to speak out on these matters, because we don't always see where we can make a difference, and when we see, we don't always do the right thing. Fiery Spirit, fill our hearts with grace and love. Open our curiosity, loving Spirit, to learn more about our ecumenical family, the Christians and all those other denominations, and to make time and effort to engage with your diverse people. There is warmth in coming together, and yet there are so many excuses that hamper unity. We are sorry that we are not following your call to unity, your call to live in love. Fiery Spirit, fill our hearts with grace and love. For we are truly sorry. Amen. And our words of assurance. Friends, God's Spirit is with us. When we open ourselves and receive the Spirit, we draw closer to God. And if we draw closer to God, we may experience that spontaneous unity with all God's people. So let us lean into the Spirit and let us lean into unity. Loving our neighbour brings insight into God's realm of love. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Pentecost Spirit, draw us to you. We thank you for the gifts you offer. You open our understanding and break through our hesitation. You reveal the unseen, so we discern God's reign. You grow in us a compassion for each other and strengthen our connection. What delight it is to be part of your family. How wonderful it is to work in unity. So justice is ready to roll out like a river, and peace is found in flourishing relationships. Pentecost Spirit, we thank you because you fill our days with hope. Amen. Just looking for what's happening next. The readings are now going to be brought to us. Thank you, Jackie.
So our first reading this morning comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 22 to 27. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Reading number 2 is from John chapter 15, verses 26 to 27. The work of the Holy Spirit. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. And our third reading is from John, chapter 16, verses 4b to 15. I did not tell you this from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. and about judgment, because the prince of the world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Before I begin this morning, I must say I'm surprised that none of you has commented on my top today. You may remember that last week, wasn't I wearing an identical one? But what colour was it? Last week I wore my blue one, which had little spots of orangey red in it, to encourage you that it doesn't matter how much red you wear, a little spot will be enough. And I thought when I arrived today, some of you would think a miracle had occurred. But really, I had this second one just waiting for today. It's been in my wardrobe waiting for Pentecost since I got here. Pentecost, the time of fire, the time of love, the time of the disciples not meaning to, but letting their hair down. Do you see, I've got my hair down today as well. That was a conscious decision. Sorry?
Egan can let his hair down.
Oh, that's really a bit unfair, I think, Rob. I'm not commenting on the readings that we had today, really. I will just say something about them now, and then I'm moving to another reading, which I'm going to read you. And so you will have noticed in those readings we had, Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans that we have the first fruits of the Spirit, and that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, which we really need, and the Spirit intercedes for us, which we really need. So John is saying that Jesus is saying that the Spirit will come and come alongside us. The word used in the reading was advocate, and did you notice it had a capital A? I'm sending you an advocate, not just any old advocate, but the advocate who will come alongside us, who will be on our side. And we also heard in the other John passage that the Spirit will testify about Jesus. He's not there to blow his own trumpet, he's there to testify about Jesus. The Spirit, our advocate, will guide us into all truth, will remind us what Jesus said, and will glorify Jesus. That's what Jesus said about the Spirit. There's another short reading that we didn't have, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, which says that the Spirit is a deposit, God's stamp on us, that we are made in his image. So the Spirit is stamped on us, and now Ken will have the picture, if we may. So as you can see, that's a tattoo of a dove representing the Holy Spirit, and the Bible reading underneath, this is my private joke with God, is God has stamped his Spirit on me. Now, God has stamped his Spirit on all of us. I just need reminding sometimes that I am made in God's image, that God's image is stamped on me, that his Holy Spirit is within us. So that's my permanent reminder right there. We'll go away from that picture now before it puts people off. I do have to say that on which day was I here? Thursday was the biggest morning tea for cancer. Thank you to everybody who contributed to that, set it up, did the dishes afterwards, served people, took part. It was a wonderful occasion. And there was a lady there who doesn't come to church at all, and she met me. Oh, you're the new minister. I said, oh, yes. And she said, have you upset everybody yet? I said, oh, well, maybe on Sunday. It's Pentecost, and the set reading for the day is usually Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. And what I thought I would do today is read you the reading, but comment on it as I go along. So it's not a sermon as such, it's commenting on the reading as we read it. Because you've probably heard this reading every year. You probably thought, as the reading was happening, I'd like to, but maybe, or maybe you thought, I know all this. Anyway, let's see if we can take a fresh look at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. Of course, Acts was written by Luke, and he wrote a gospel as well, and Acts is really the continuation of that gospel. So in chapter 1, the disciples vote for a new disciple to replace Judas, and they choose Matthias, and then they're waiting in the upper room because Jesus has said, wait, the Spirit is going to come. And it's not just the disciples, it's the disciples and members of Jesus' family, and his mother and his brothers. And that's a wee bit interesting because there is no mention of his brothers in the Gospels after the mother and brothers come and try and take him home from Capernaum, saying, I think he's gone mad. And then in John, I'm not sure now, John 7 maybe, Jesus and his brothers have a disagreement about whether to go to Jerusalem for the festival. And after that, there's no more mention. So it's possible that there'd been some estrangement with his brothers. We don't hear about them following Jesus. We don't hear about them there at the crucifixion. But we do know his mother was there, don't we? So maybe his brothers were only fully convinced after the resurrection appearances. So they are there too. The brothers are there. His mother is there. The other, all the women who followed Jesus and cared for him, supported the disciples and the disciples, they're all together gathered in one place. And so that's where we pick this up. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Oh, I better stop and say Pentecost was a Jewish festival. It's not a name we've suddenly given to this miraculous event. It was already happening. It was 50 days after Passover. And so it was a festival, which means, again, like at Passover, Jews from all around had come for this important Jewish festival. So there were a lot of visitors in Jerusalem. And here were all our people waiting in this upper room. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. I wonder if they were sitting in chairs or whether they were sitting on the floor. It doesn't say it was a wind. It doesn't say wind shook the house and they all their hair got mussed up. It says a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. I moved to New Zealand 3 years ago, and I was sitting in my recliner chair at home late one night all by myself, and suddenly I heard a roaring sound. And I thought, that's not the wind, that's not a train, it's not an airplane, it's not a truck going past, it's an earthquake coming. And it was. I heard it before it got started shaking my house. So I think of that when I hear this, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. They would not have known what was happening. It might have been quite scary at that point. Then they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated. So they must have started off together, because then they separated and came to rest on each of them. Now, it doesn't say it was fire. In fact, it specifically says it wasn't, doesn't it? Because it says what seemed like tongues of fire. So something so bright and so magnificent and landed on each of them individually, came to rest on each of them. At this point, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, the Holy Spirit has always been around. You know that in Genesis 1, the Spirit was hovering over the waters, the Spirit, the breath of God. In the Old Testament, sometimes we read that the Spirit fell upon a particular prophet who then prophesied in the Spirit. The Spirit was also on a craftsman, I can't remember where, but somewhere in the first five books, a craftsman at the temple. So the Spirit was something that people knew about and knew that the Spirit sometimes fell on people. But this was something different. This was a lot of people all together in one place having an experiential encounter of something completely out of their experience. But they knew even though they hadn't experienced it before, they knew that this was what Jesus had promised and had told them to wait for. They were filled with the Spirit and they began speaking in other tongues, which is just a word for other languages, as the Spirit enabled them. And I'm going to talk more about tongues when we get a bit further down. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Remember, they didn't know about Australia at this point, so there wouldn't have been any Australians there. There wouldn't have been any Americans there. The every nation under heaven was all of the nations around Israel, as far as they knew that there were countries. It was the whole of the known world. And when they heard this sound, this is the people outside, surely. This is all the foreigners, the God-fearing Jews from every nation. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, as you would be, utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these people who are speaking to us from Galilee?" I don't know what we would say, you know, aren't all these people who are speaking to us from, what's a little tiny backwater where no one, nothing? In New Zealand, we have a town that we use here. So aren't all these people speaking to us from Ekitahuna, we would say? Aren't all these people speaking to us in all our own languages from Meningi? I'm trying to get close to a small town, which is a backwater, where everyone is a hick, and you know perfectly well they don't speak other languages. And then the crowd said, "How is it that each of us is hearing them in our native language?" And then there's a long list of all the known countries of the world: Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Well, you can understand why they thought that. This was a bizarre event. It was an impossible event. How could the disciples, or everyone from Galilee, be speaking in all these languages? How could it be that these people were hearing it? I have heard it explained by someone who didn't believe that they were really speaking those languages, that actually they weren't speaking all those languages, but the people were hearing it in their own language. Well, actually, is that even more of a miracle? You know, I mean, we can't explain it. We can't explain it, but we know it happened. People heard the news in their own language. What an enormous miracle this was. But they were perplexed. They thought, "I must be mishearing." They thought, "They must be just babbling. I think they've just all had too much wine and they've gone off the deep end." Now, when I lived in London, when my husband and I lived in London, he worked in Boots the Chemist at Victoria Station, which has a lot of tourists, you know, who come in from the airport and come into Victoria Station or vice versa. And he worked in a little Boots store there, and all his shop assistants, of course, were English girls. And one day he was working there, he was a New Zealander, and an Australian came in. "Oh, it's so lovely." You know, you might think New Zealanders and Australians are natural enemies, and we are when it comes to rugby union, not going there. And we might think how different we are, our accents are different, we have different expressions, we understand things differently. But when you're a New Zealander in London and you meet an Australian, it's, "Oh, cousin," you know, there's that great point of familiarity and feeling this is one of us. And so this bloke was saying, "I've just come, I'm just going to be living in London, I've just got off the flight, you know, where do you live, how far away is it, how hard did you find it to find work, what's the cost of living like, how much do you earn and do you find you can afford," you know. So they had this long conversation, which my husband was thrilled to have, and then the tourist, or whatever he was, finally went away, and one of the shop girls came up to him and said, "Oh, you handled that really well." And he said, "What do you mean I handled it really well?" And she said, "Well, I mean, he was obviously drunk." Now, they thought he was drunk. Actually, he was just Australian. But the way he talked, the frankness with which he talked, the fact that he talked about money and asked how much Rob earned was all so out of character for these English people that they just thought Rob had handled this drunk man very well. I always remember that when I read this, and I find all of these good, devout Jews from all around the known world wondering what it means and then making fun of them and saying, "Oh, they were drunk." Something extraordinary was happening here. The Spirit had arrived, and not just arrived, but swept over and into each and every one of those men and women who had been waiting for what Jesus had promised. The next bit. Peter stood up with the 11 at this point, because of course they were the leaders, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Where was Peter at this point? Were they still in the house? Had they come out of the house? Was he speaking through a window from an upper room down to the crowd who was below? How did they know what the crowd had been saying? This is a mystery. It's not explained. You've got a feeling they must have been outside by then. Anyway, he stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning." Probably stopped for a laugh at that point. We don't get the humour in the Bible because it's a different culture and we don't recognise it. Also, we expect Jesus always to be serious. But I think this may have got a laugh. "It's only 9 o'clock in the morning." "No," says Peter, "this was what was spoken by the prophet Joel." Now, these were all good, God-fearing Jews. They would have all known all the prophets. They would have known what Joel had said. But Peter had recognized that this was what Joel had said, and it was being applied here and now. This is what Joel said. "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy, both men and women. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." That's all from the prophet Joel. The people of Israel knew those words. What they didn't know was that was the day when this was going to start to happen. The Spirit had arrived on men and women who were dreaming dreams and seeing visions and prophesying and telling the good news, filled with boldness. What an exciting day. Also, I think there must have been some sort of element of feeling trepidatious, anxious, afraid, and scared with those disciples. They didn't know what they'd been waiting for, but they wouldn't have expected something like this. They didn't know what they were expecting, but Peter recognized it. So that was the day of Pentecost. And we know what happened. The early church grew and grew. They didn't have a building. They met in the courts of the temple. They broke bread together. They shared their money and belongings with those who needed them. And day by day, their number was added to by more and more believers. And as we've talked about before, the church then settled down into more of a routine. There were house churches, there was opposition and persecution. But here we are at the day of Pentecost, and that's the day we're here to remember today. Now, I think looking around that all of you, except Sam, were around in the 70s. When there was the charismatic movement or charismatic revival, or you could just call it a move of the Spirit rather than give it a technical official name. But let's go back. The early church was not the end of the Holy Spirit manifesting in glorious ways. The early church was followed by you know, the church fathers and mothers, those who lived in the desert. There were monks, there were visionaries, there were mystics who knew the Spirit, heard God talking to them, engaged in mystical speaking in tongues. It didn't all die out. Things just went a bit quiet, and I think that's because it was so extraordinary at the time, and then things do have a way of settling into a pattern. And then most of you will know about the Azusa Revival. It was on a street called Azusa Street in, was it San Francisco in 1904 or 06, where suddenly there was a great movement of people starting to speak in tongues and realizing the Spirit is still with us. Well, we always knew that, but the Spirit can still manifest in these ways. But before that, there was the holiness movement. There was John the Wesleys, and then after that, there were others, and there was a holiness movement within Methodism. What I'm saying is, the Spirit has never stopped manifesting in these ways. It just hasn't been a universal experience. And then it was a Pentecostal experience in the 20th century through till about the 70s, where the charismatic revival also recognized that the Spirit can still, and does still, work in these ways. There is a lot about the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And I don't remember hearing very much at all about the Holy Spirit in my early years in the Baptist Church up until I was 20. I knew that at the end of the service, the minister said, "In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen." It was a formula that we used and which I believed, and I knew there was a Trinity. But I hadn't taken on board that the Holy Spirit didn't just come then, and then we don't acknowledge the Holy Spirit anymore. The Holy Spirit, the third part of the Godhead, the third person in the Godhead, is not only alive and well, but wanting to infill all of us, to empower all of us, to show us how to love, to remind us of Jesus' words. The Spirit is not here to glorify himself. He is here to point us to Jesus, to glorify Jesus, to remind us of what Jesus said, but also to fill us with power and boldness as these early disciples were filled. They were no longer fearful and hiding. They were open and bold. It wasn't long after this that Stephen became the first martyr, because he was open and bold, and he stuck with God even as he was being stoned to death. Not long after that, I think James was the first one then to be killed as a martyr, and he was the leader of the church in Jerusalem at the time. The others ended up having to leave Jerusalem because of persecution, but their boldness was not dimmed. We've already heard about how Thomas may have gone as far as India, and how Mark went down to Alexandria, and John went off to Ephesus. They were dispersed through events beyond what they could control, but the message stayed alive. The Spirit was still with them. They were still empowered. They knew the truth of these verses from Joel, as Peter did, and they knew that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And there's something very wonderfully inclusive and non-sexist, isn't there, about these words from an Old Testament prophet, Joel. "I'll pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. My servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit, and they will prophesy. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Not only Jews who believe in the one true God, not only Jews and those who have converted to Judaism from all these known nations who had gathered in Jerusalem that day. Everyone, not just male, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And it's good news that everyone will be saved who calls on the name of the Lord. It's good news because, goodness me, we all need saving. And those of us who sometimes arrogantly think we're God's gift to everybody else, self-included, we need to know that we too need to continually turn to God and ask for his help, ask for his forgiveness, ask for his saving. So in the 70s, when this sort of the Spirit came to the fore in many people's minds, unfortunately, that did lead to some division. You may remember in your churches between people who believed in it and people who didn't. And I heard a story, I think it is just a story, but I'm going to repeat it as if it's true. There were a lot of altar calls at the end of evening services for people to come up and be filled with the Spirit. And in this particular church, there was an older man who kept coming forward every time. And finally, someone said to him, you know, if you've been filled with the Spirit, you've been filled with the Spirit. You don't need to keep asking as if you haven't been filled with the Spirit. You have. You can rest assured that you've been filled because you've asked. And he said, look, I know I've been filled with the Spirit, but the problem is I leak. And to tell the truth, I think we all leak. We can all be just joyous in the presence of God and knowing fully how much God loves us and has forgiven us and full of the joy of sharing that with others 1 minute, and the next minute we can find something has taken away our joy. Something seems to have taken away our power. We may need infilling. So what I'm here to say is we can be filled with the Spirit, but we need to ask God to continue filling us with the Spirit. And in fact, there is one of the Bible verses about being filled says, be filled with the Spirit. But the Greek verb is be continually filled, go on being filled with the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is not just the person of God who lands on one or two people like a prophet or a preacher, not just who lands on one or two particularly gifted people in other areas, music or crafts or whatever. The Holy Spirit has been sent to be with us, to infill us, and to give us boldness, joy, courage, love. We celebrate that this morning, not just because it happened 2,000 years ago in an upper room in Jerusalem or out on the street, but because it is still happening here and now today. It is the Spirit who brings us life. Thanks be to God. Now, you'll notice that I did all of that without notes, and that means I may have left out quite a bit of what I wanted to say, but that will come next year. I'll go home and write down other things that I thought of. I do just want to, if the musicians could come back up, please, I do just want to mention the next song we're going to sing. The first verse was written in the 70s. And Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. It's very important that we pray that. Break me. Well, actually, we don't want to be broken, so think about that as you sing it, if you're prepared for that. Melt me, mold me. Make me, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. But in the 90s, a second verse was written. It can stand alone as a separate hymn, but you can sing them together according to the copyright rules. And this second verse is written about us and why we are filled with the Spirit, why we as a church are filled with the Spirit, and how what the Spirit enables us to do, which is to love. So I invite you to stay seated and make this our prayer. We're going to sing the song twice through, and were you going to say something, Ian?
So remain seated while we sing this through, and after we've sung it through effectively four times, verses 1 and 2, twice, then the offering will be brought forward, and we invite, I'll tell you then, to stand for the offering. So let's, the Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me and thee.
Thank you.
We stand as an offering of ourselves. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, you give us everything we have. We stand before you as a sign that we bring not just our gifts of money and some food for the hungry, but as signs that we commit all of ourselves to you, that we might be used by you to bring new life, hope, help, and grace to our neighbours and to those we don't know personally. Bless these gifts, we pray, as we have been blessed. Use them through our hands and by the hands of others to bless this world, your creation. And may our lives always shine with Christ's love, for we are forgiven people, people you love, and through your Holy Spirit, may we be people who love others. Amen. Please be seated. It's time for the notices, which I remember an older minister I knew once called the intimations. Heard that before somewhere?
Once, yeah.
We give thanks for the generosity of those who helped at the biggest morning tea for the council fundraiser on Thursday. If you see Jackie, she'll probably tell you how much we've got so far. $700 so far. So it'll be about $1,200 altogether. Thank you. Now, most of the usual happenings that you will have known about, which hopefully you've already seen in the grapevine or on the screen before worship or after the service this morning. Please take note of those that apply to you. And by the way, the minister I mentioned earlier said that the reason the church has a newsletter is as insurance for the minister. That if people aren't aware of some upcoming event, the minister, like Shelley, can say, it was in the newsletter, it was in the grapevine. And one of the things you will find is that coming up is next Friday, is Friday Friends. And so we invite you, if you want to come along between 10 and 11.30 next Friday for Friday Friends, come and share in some food and a cuppa and a conversation and friendship. And then on Sunday, we've got the first cafe church, which Shelley will be involved with. And so that'll be a bit different, but it's still worship. And that'll be an interesting thing to experience. So we invite you to come along next Sunday with an air of expectation. So you don't have to wear red socks or a red shirt or top, but you can if you like. You can just come along and have a different worship style. And there's a few other things in the newsletter which I invite you to read and follow up on, the things that are coming up the next week. And I think that's all. Marge, would you bring our prayers, please?
That was a strong introduction, wasn't it? Not quite sure what that means. As we come to this time of prayer, I have to share with you a prayer that is a combination of a whole lot of thinking, reading and reflecting. So will you share with me now as we offer our prayer to God? God of grace and God of beauty. On your people pour your power. Come, Holy Spirit, come and renew the whole creation. Send the wind and the flame of your transforming life to lift up the church in this day. Give us wisdom and faith that we may know the great hope to which we are called. On this day of Pentecost, we celebrate the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come, renew the whole creation. As a rushing wind and tongues of fire, Spirit of God, come among us on this Pentecost day. Make this day a rebirth day for your people. Make us passionate in our faith, strong in our commitment, courageous beyond our imagining, and willing to love and keep on loving without reservation, we pray. Send your holy wind among us, not as a gentle breeze to lull us into relaxation, comfort, and complacency. Let it be a wind of fire to burn into our hearts, a passion for your truth and a desire to share it. Give us tongues of fire, God, not to babble incomprehensibly, but to speak out loud, plainly for justice and fairness. To be the voices of those in this world who are made mute because they are downtrodden and oppressed. To speak the language of peace in a world bombarded by violence and war, arms deal and greed. To speak to the grace, bewildering in its simplicity, that sets hearts and minds and souls free through Jesus. Help us to be ourselves, all that we can be for you and in and through you. Not going through the motions of life, instead living life to its fullness by the power of your Spirit. Help us to be advocates for refugees, people who have often suffered in ways cruel beyond our comprehension. Help us to always look upon others as made in your likeness and worthy of recognition and praise. Help us to be an accepting, embracing fellowship. Help us to reach out loving others as Jesus loves us. Take away pride, jealousy, and judgment, we pray. Take away that almost insatiable urge some of us might have to be in control of others. If we seem negative and critical, show us how to be more affirming and accepting and positive. Like the apostles of old, brand our very hearts with the flame of the power of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Renew the whole creation. Brand us within with holy fire so that what is outward, our words and our actions, our joy and enthusiasm, will make it abundantly obvious who we are and who and what we stand for. Help us to infect others with contagious joy, with love, with grace and the promise of life eternal through Jesus. Spirit of life and power, transform our dreams so that we may be your people. Give us the gifts we need. Walk with us on the road as we risk living your way in spirit and in truth. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Renew the whole creation. Gracious God, Let not even one person leave your worship house today without feeling the warm stirring of your spirit within, without embracing the same determination and passion that fired the apostles at that first Christian Pentecost celebration. Before we share the prayer which Jesus taught those early disciples, let us quietly remember and commit to him those whom we know who are struggling with health issues, relationships, situations, all kind of things which are quite fearful. Come, Holy Spirit, come, renew the whole creation. Let's now share in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we have those who sin against us. Save us from temptation of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Before we sing our final song, I remind you that if you would like someone to pray with you, if you've been moved by the Spirit to ask for that, then ask someone nearby or come out towards the front and somebody will be there to pray with you. I'm about to ask you to stand, but before I do, there's two things about this song. One is that the verses start on the second note of the music, not the first one, which is a bit tricky for some people to pick up. But the second thing is, this is a song about the Spirit's power. So if you can, I'd like us to sing it with gusto. You know, plenty of oomph, you know, filled with the Spirit's power, with one accord, the infant church confessed its risen Lord because the power of the Holy Spirit is upon each of us. So let's sing, stand and sing this song, if you're able.
We've been blessed by the word of the Spirit speaking to us today and calling us to lives of generosity and compassion and abounding love and abounding joy. So let us go now and be a blessing to all those we meet, that they too will come to know Jesus, to whom the Spirit points us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.
No, no.